Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks. Thanks for calling the Sloppy Boys.
Keep it in.
Maybe I do need the cheat. Here we go. Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Heidi ho, neighborino.
Ugh.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up, and happy Vermouth Month.
Oh my god, Vermouth Month is happening right now.
Wait, Mike. And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys. Go ahead.
Oh my god, Vermouth Munch is happening right now.
It's back, baby. We took a little break, and now it's back.
Did you guys recognize the impression I was doing?
Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns, the man, the myth, the billionaire legend of Springfield. Okay. Enough of the silly stuff. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going?
Good. Hi, Tim.
Good.
You know what's kind of cool today is that we got ourselves a lot of booze news.
Oh, yeah, let's cut the chit-chat up top. This is all pointless. Let's get to the news.
This is pressing stuff.
Hey, listen to this one. This one blew my hair back. Yingling is putting out a new beer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say seltzer, Tim.
Nope. They're putting out a new flavor of a beer.
Seltzer flavored.
Is it? Yeah.
Seltzer flavored beer.
Is it like a flavor like we know out in the real world, like
yes.
Honeydew? Is it honeydew?
No.
Huh. Raspberry.
No, Jeff.
Wait, is it? It's a flavor. It's not just like, oh, it's an IPA.
It's a flavor, and we've shit talked it before.
Oh, peppermint,
grapefruit,
Raging Eagle mango beer.
Oh,
Raging
not a
Eagle
fan of mango.
Mango beer. I don't. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
It is a 24-ounce can of mango infused beer. Okay. Targeted at young adults who are on the go.
Driving?
But I mean, I like Golden Road's mango beer, but we've talked about why does just every seltzer, they all get the mango. Why is mango ubiquitous, especially Yingling? You know, that's like an old Pennsylvania beer. The varieties they have now are just like lager, light lager, black and tan, porter, like pretty normal. And now a huge jump to mango.
Ugh. That's funny, too. Like, I wonder what there's so many different fruits out there. Why is it just like mango? Like, what's the market
you know
research
what?
On that?
I think it is. It's Jewel Pods.
Oh, yeah. Jefferson.
The mango Jewel Pods were the hot shit.
Whew.
That's nefarious, then. If the mango Jewel Pod was going after young kids, and then now the beers are going after the Jewel teenagers.
Yeah.
I think that Yingling being Pennsylvania, they should have done something Pennsylvania specific, like a Scrapple beer.
Yeah.
Scrapple is not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Scrapple is a sort of broken up apple pie.
Scrapple, I've never had it, but I believe it's a breakfast meat that's sort of a processed loaf. Huh. Mishmash.
I like the broken up apple pie. That sounds great.
Like it's the scraps of an apple pie.
Scrapple.
I've definitely broken up apple pie on my plate while I'm eating it. So I've kind of
Have we talked about this? You putting cheddar cheese on your apple pie?
Jesus, no.
I've never done it, but people do that. I don't know. I don't know where.
Cheddar cheese?
Cheddar cheese, American cheese, something.
You know, one thing that I thought was gross that I remember from all of our pasts is, remember like little packs of snack crackers?
Yeah.
A common flavor combination was cheese crackers with peanut butter filling.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And like thinking now, cheese and peanut butter, that's fucking gross.
Oh, yeah. That shouldn't work. And if it came out now, you'd be grossed out. But those Keebler packs are a staple.
It works. I do think the cheese ones are a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but that's my two cents.
With the cheese filling.
Yeah. Oh, no. Cheese cracker with cheese filling?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds
great. No, peanut butter and cheese.
Oh.
That's that.
Okay, what else on booze news?
Mikey, you got stuff.
Yes, I do. Okay, this is an old one. This is from remember the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago? We saw Tom Brady throwing that pigskin to his friend Gronk.
Yeah.
Well, you probably noticed it was a lot of firsts in that whole game, blah, blah, blah. Mm. One of the firsts in the advertising was, it was the first Super Bowl ever that Budweiser did not have an ad.
Whoa!
They gave all their ad money to like a COVID vaccine awareness campaign.
Good,
but so you hear that and it's like, wow, without the Super Bowl without Budweiser, that's crazy. And then at the end of this little article I read, it was like, but they will have advertisements for Bud Light, Bud Light Seltzer, Coors, like their yeah. whole Michelob Ultra, you know, their whole like stable of stuff.
Oh.
So don't worry about them.
I hope they have success with this COVID awareness campaign, because I personally just am not aware about any of it. I haven't really heard much.
Yeah.
When I go clicking around, I can't find anything.
I think a big part of that campaign is like trying to get people to know it's a real thing, or that it's not like a hoax.
Yeah.
Like getting celebrities to do it on TV and stuff.
There's also this thing with if Budweiser could let one Super Bowl go without spending millions on advertising and then discover that it didn't affect their sales whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think people would like drastically overthink how much we spend on or how much they spend on advertising.
Okay. My second piece of booze news is remember we did the bull shot 2 weeks ago?
Oh yeah.
Delish.
Well, all my news is going back a little while. So, you know, Red Danson, a friend of the pod who told us all about the Bill Oakley, Diamond Jim Brady.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I used on The Simpsons. Well, he hit up the Sloppy Boys Instagram and said, you know, because I was complaining about my bullshot. I did not enjoy it. He said, okay, so question about the Worcestershire sauce you used. Was it in the fridge and or did you shake it super well before using? The anchovy oil in there can separate, especially in the fridge, and ends up coming out funky. I did not know about that. And if you can guess, I did not have, it was not in the fridge. No, I'm sorry. It was in the fridge and I did not shake it.
Ooh.
You got to shake it, Michael.
I didn't shake.
Yeah, not a shaker.
So, next time I make one of those, which I probably won't ever make one of those again, I will try to shake it.
I bet it's better shaken and it would solve that problem, but I can't imagine it changing it enough for you to love it.
Well, I can't imagine spending some time being like, okay, I'm really going to nail this beef drink.
Yeah.
But hey, shout out to Red Danson. He's the man.
Hey, we love him. And Worcestershire is made from eels and vinegar. Is that right?
He said anchovies.
Oh, anchovies. Yeah. So it's pretty gnarly even to begin with, but I love it.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
My final bit of booze news, which is a product. Look at this.
Oh my.
A 7 ounce Miller High Life bottle. Can you believe it?
A cute, squat, tiny little bottle. Where did you get that, Mike?
I got this just at a corner store. They had them. I said, what is this? And they said, oh, you got to try this. You don't happen to do a podcast, do you? I do. Is it about cocktails and drinking? You son of a bitch, it is.
That's nice. I wish I had one of those.
It's great. Well, I went on the Molson Coors website, and it's got these like reasons why these are better. One is because it stays colder. Jeff, a big problem you're always having.
Sure. Wait, why is that?
You finish it faster.
It's smaller. Is it there? You finish it before it gets hot.
Hot. Yeah. When I have my beer is like a 22 ounce can or a 40. By the time I get to the bottom, it's boiling.
And then it suggested this. Another good use for these things are beer moses. You split one of these into two champagne flutes and add OJ. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, but that sounds great. It sounds like a brass monkey.
Champagne of beers, man.
You know where I've seen those squat little bottles before? Mm-hmm. There's a thing in the Midwest, I want to say maybe started in Wisconsin, where when you have a Bloody Mary, it comes with a beer back, a little shot of beer. And I had it at Nye's Polonaise in Minneapolis. And then I had it a few other times. And sometimes it's very fun when it comes in that little squat bottle. He's like, interesting. Little sip of this, little sip of that.
What's the drink that has like, it's like a tropical drink, maybe a bloody, but it's got like a Corona in it.
Corona-rita.
Upside down with the Corona beer extending up out of the normal drink because of however they do that with physics and surface tension.
Those are like at Dave and Buster's and similar chains. Those are the margaritas. I don't know who started it, the Corona.
But it's like instead of having a lime perched on the corner of your glass, you got a whole ass beer and it's like filling the thing as you drink
As you drink, it's adding new liquid. And then you could also pull on the bottle and it goes, flubop, flubop, flubop.
What can else? Oh, when I was looking around online about these little they call them pony bottles.
Sure.
They also call them splits, which is a term associated with champagne. And since this is the champagne of beers, makes sense. Mm. But they also were talking about something called, Miller used to make Steinies. Do you know what those are?
No.
It's, you know, when you see like in the late 70s or 80s in a movie or something, the beer bottles were like squatter, but it's still a 12 ounce beer.
No,
I don't think so.
It looks like this. It's got like this shape, but it's just like squatter. Anyway.
And is it shaped like a bowling pin and it's a pinner?
I wish, but it's like, it would be like this long.
Hmm.
Steiny.
Steinfeld. Mm. Oh, that could be it.
So that's my little tidbit.
Hey, what a great segment of booze news.
We're going to close her down and wrap it up with this. I'm auditioning yet another booze news theme song for you guys.
So a new one.
Ooh, nice.
Give this a listen and tell me what if you want to keep it.
All right.
Dish of the dirt. Uh-huh. Dish of the dirt. Hey, gather around. We're dish of the dirt.
Pretty good.
Dish in the dirt.
Hold on.
Dish in the dirt. Hey, gather round. We're dish in the dirt.
It's booze news, you greasy little shit.
What do you think?
Wow, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's stuck with the same, or you stuck with the same formula, I guess, huh?
Well, I shortened the hi-hat intro and I added some stand-up bass.
Okay.
That's pretty good, Tim, but I'm curious to see what the slop heads can come up with.
Me too.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. We're summoning Booze News theme songs. Send them into the Sloppy Boys podcast at gmail.com. And that's it for Booze News.
Yeah. Can you top the tea, man?
Don't top the tea.
I'll say this right now. If we use one of your Booze News's theme songs on the podcast, you get $100,000 sent to you in the mail.
Right? Oh my God, we are so fucked. I haven't checked our Patreon income recently, but I don't think it's that much.
It's $100,000, and they will get it. Oh, all of it.
For clean swap. There you go. Yep.
And that's cash.
May the best songwriter win.
Okay, now we have a drink on this. We hit up the IBA list for this drink today, right?
Yeah, we're back on list.
We're back on track.
Back where we belong.
Back on the list. Who's had it?
I've had it. I drink it all the time.
I've not had it.
I've had one once.
I already have questions about this drink.
Ooh.
Well, let me tell you, the Negroni.
Yes.
Here's what's cool about it. It's Italian, right? This is a Italiano. This is a cafe society cocktail. So if you're like Hanford and you like to spend your afternoons kind of whiling away the hours at a cafe, swapping bon mots with all the literary minds.
Elites.
then this could be the drink for you because we're talking equal parts gin, Campari, sweet vermouth.
I do have to say, when I love doing that. I love hanging out at the cafes, talking to the literary elites. Their minds fascinate me. I find myself sitting there doing a lot of listening, and I don't really have much to say to them.
Yeah.
I wish I could keep up. Yeah, a lot of times they'll mention somebody, Hawthorne? Okay. I'm not sure who that is.
Just kind of silent for the whole afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. I go home. I need two Advil and a nap, actually. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mike, I'm going to hook you up with some Cliff's Notes, and you're going to be good to go.
Good.
The origin of the Negroni is in 1919. There's this guy, Count Negroni. He waltzes into a cafe in Florence, and he wants to have an Americano, which is Campari vermouth soda, right? Mm-hmm. A weaker drink. In Italy, mm-hmm. they like the weaker drinks. The Americano, I think it's called the Americano because Americans were importing a lot of vermouth from them at that point and mixing with things. But we'll get to that someday because that's on the IBA list and we'll do a whole episode. But this guy, Negroni, he doesn't like the Americano. He says to the bartender at this cafe in Florence, I just spent a lot of time in America and Americans like stiff drinks. You know, they're drinking the unforgettables.
Oh, yeah.
The liquor forward cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Do we ever.
So here's how he wants to kick up his Americano. And he says, no soda, gin. Campari vermouth. Gin. And he drinks it. He loves it. And then the bartender starts making it. And everyone says, this Negroni is kind of cool. It's a hit. Soon, it catches on in America. We were influencing him. But then, you know, in the 60s, it's like you think of the kind of movies. Rome is kind of a cool thing in the 60s. You got Sophia Loren kind of doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a staple for cool, smart, elegant cafe kind of people.
Nice.
But then it hits its peak decades later.
That sucks.
Let me flash forward to a little time you may recall called April 2020.
What?
Springtime in America. The Sloppy Boys are putting the finishing touches on the mix for their soon-to-be hit album, Paradiso.
Bring this up. Take this down.
Turn that way down. It sucks. And, you know, early pandemic, everyone's kind of cooped up, and a certain video hits the internet and sets it aflame. Ooh. Where a certain character actor is making a Negroni. Go ahead and play the clip.
What are you going to make me?
A Negroni. Mm. Would you like one?
I would love one.
Great. Does he sound familiar to you guys?
No.
Thanks.
No.
You didn't see this video? I didn't see it until more recently.
All right. So, a Negroni. But we're going
to
make a Negroni.
You got any guesses as to who this man is?
No, I can't. Mostly people have
Negronis. Martin Short?
We've talked about him actually, on this very podcast.
Quite nice.
Oh. Shaloub's buddy.
Shaloub's buddy.
Oh, Stanley Tucci?
Stanley Tucci. Stanley Tucci is making a Negroni for his wife, and he kind of looks good. He's in really good shape, and he's flexing his
yeah, I bet.
His biceps while he shakes it. So you see a lot of comments that are kind of like, hey, destroy me, Tucci daddy.
But
then he goes on, he's on the Today Show making him. He's on the Corden making him. Then Jesus. The internet is critiquing him. You got YouTube cocktail connoisseurs doing redo video. Or no, what do you call it? A rewatch or whatever.
Rebuttals or whatever.
Play this clip.
Shake it up. Okay, he's shaking his Negroni. Stir your Negroni. Stanley Tucci, you're well put together. You look great. You can afford to get a stirring mixing glass for your Negroni.
What a dork.
That's some guy who is actually has a good YouTube channel and makes some, I forget his name, the cocktail aficionado or something. But everyone's talking Negroni, Negroni. You can't walk down the street without someone saying, oh, the Tucci drink is the big thing now. And now it's kind of having its peak with this podcast. And here's my feeling on it.
I feel it. I can feel in the air the excitement.
Yeah.
My thing when I order a Negroni, and here's what the slop heads listening. You're probably thinking this drink has nothing to do to me, nothing to do with me. There's no reason I would ever want to do this. Here's what you do. You go, it's Italian, right? So it goes with Italian food. Next time you're out at an Italian restaurant and everyone's ordering, the house red. Oh, the house white. You know, what do you guys order when you're having Italian food? Wait, you drink wine?
Gun to my head, I'm getting red wine, but you yeah, know, man. I don't. I don't like
gun to your head.
I don't like it.
I do a nice cab.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I get in a cab if someone orders red wine, and I'm out of there.
I used to do Peroni, and then I started doing wine. But now here's everyone's placing their orders, telling the waiter what they want. It gets to me, and I say, "Hey, Negroni." And oh, you should see the faces across the table. Hey, I used to hate Tim, and now I'm impressed with him.
The whispers. He got a Negroni. Oh, he got a Negroni.
He must be a literary elite.
He looks awesome as well.
He looks like Stanley Tucci.
And they say, "What's he been in it? What is in the Negroni he ordered?" And then I stand up and I slam my fist on the table and I say, "According to the IBA, 30 milliliters of gin, 30 milliliters of bitter Campari, 30 milliliters of sweet red vermouth. So equal parts. Make it how big."
Oh, you love those equal parts. Bing, 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 done.
Pour all ingredients directly into a chilled old-fashioned glass filled with ice. Stir gently. Garnish with half orange slice. So that was the thing. Stucci.
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, the abbreviation.
The Stooch, man.
Common abbreviation.
The Stooch there.
He shook it and then served it up, and that's why he was getting that tongue lashing. So today we're going to stir them and have them on the rocks.
I hate to stir. I love to shake.
Now, you say this goes well with an Italian meal. What do you guys consider a Palio string cheese to be Italian food?
Yes.
A mozza, fresh mozzarella?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A fresh string mozzarella.
Yes, yes.
You go down to that Palio factory and get it as it's just coming off the line.
I like Chef Boyardee.
I like to have the beefaroni from a shitty can.
Guys, this High Life 7 ounce, gone, forgotten. It's fast.
Was it cold all the way down?
You know it, my man.
Oh my Looks God. Like Frosty the Snowman over there.
Oh, should we go make these drinks?
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. I got questions when we come back. Hard hitting questions.
Oh, no.
You got questions? We got answers.
We'll be right back.
Sloppy Boys Podcast. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, we want to pump the brakes on this episode and talk about a great podcast called Bizarre Albums from our good pal, Tony Thaxton. This is a great one. Tony explores the weird side of music, celebrating and telling the stories behind those strange albums that make you wonder how and why they exist. He does deep dives on albums released by pro athletes, actors, fictional characters, and those albums where musicians or bands just took a crazy, weird left turn. The episodes are short, digestible. They're 15 to 20 minutes, full of pop culture trivia nuggets. You'll hear stories behind albums by Bruce Willis, Shaquille O'Neal, Macho Man Randy Savage, Freddy Krueger, and many, many more. And he even does an episode on Hams Brewing Company. They put an album out in 1965. It's really great. New episodes drop every Tuesday, everywhere you listen to podcasts. Tony's got a Patreon that's great. So do yourself a favor. Drop everything you're doing right now and go listen to Tony's podcast, Bizarre Albums. It's fantastic.
We're back.
Ooh.
Hey, whoa. This is red, like a big cup of marinara.
I know. Mike, is yours as red as ours?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's just kind of a weird glass.
Did we accidentally use marinara? There was a jar that said ragu. Was I supposed to?
Here we go. I'm clink, clink.
Bottoms up.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's a taste.
Yeah. It is a taste, isn't it?
I love it. It's bitter. It's Campari. It hides the sweet red vermouth that I think is the worst ingredient. Kind of tastes like a big glass of Campari. That Campari turned the whole thing red, but it's a bitter brew.
Now, did you get bitter Campari?
Yeah.
I could only just find Campari.
Okay, so I was in the Campari aisle, and I found, I didn't find anything that said bitter Campari.
Mm-hmm.
So I got
bitter Bacardi.
I got Luxardo bitter, which is the same thing, more or less.
It's like Luxardo brand's version of Campari.
Yeah, but yeah,
it would be funny if you were drinking a big bottle of bitters.
No, it's, yeah, this is alcoholic. Oh, I checked.
So what's the difference between Campari and Aperol?
I think Aperol's sweeter.
Because they were next to each other at Albertsons. And the only Campari option I had said bitter, so I went for it. But I was like, Aperol, I've seen that more than I've seen this bottle that I'm grabbing right now.
Well, because a couple years ago, Aperol Spritz was the talk of the town, baby.
Now this to me tastes like, does yours taste a little ashy or something?
Mine tastes a little gross.
There's a little like taste that's like, I don't know about that taste.
I want to say it's got that licorice anise quality to it a little bit.
Sure.
It's not strong. It's sweeter than that, but
I'm not getting any licorice. I'm getting just, it's red and it seems like it's going to be a sweet thing. And then it says, no, I'm bitter.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah, maybe I bet you by the end of this drink, I'll be singing a different tune.
Yeah, well, sure.
But initially you're saying if it strikes you as too bitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the bitterness, but not my favorite taste at the gate.
And my first thought is ashy. It's ashy.
Okay, are you drinking out of an ashtray?
I did.
It begs the question.
Well, it was a cup. It was a cup I dug out of a fireplace, and I
that's an urn.
Oh, Grampy, Gim Gam, and Swiftfoot,
Meemaw, and Poo Poo.
What did you guys? I see y'all got oranges, as requested.
Can I tell you, can I give you a little inside trick here? Mine's a clementine.
Ooh. Not me, classic navel.
I had a bag of cuties and I decided to cut one up.
Yeah, I got a bag of cuties right here on this Zoom I'm looking at. Come on.
Thank you. I was setting you up, Tim, for that. Thank you.
The IBA said to use an orange slice, so I did that. But I feel like normally you see it with a expressed twist.
Ooh, Tim.
What? I also think ours came out red that because maybe the vermouth we're using is not too dark or something like that. Cause usually Negronis are very dark.
Are they?
Yeah. This is like neon red.
This looks like fruit punch.
That's what's, yeah. I want to be having the taste of fruit punch in my mouth here, but it's just ash.
So wait, you're not getting a sweet, bitter, thing. You're just getting ash.
I'm getting the sweet bitter taste, but it's also the aftertaste is ashy.
Can you smell that Luxardo bitter bottle and see if that's ashy on its own? Because I'm very curious. Oh, he put it up his butt.
Hold on. I'm going to take a little.
And now it stinks for some reason.
Ooh, he shuddered.
Ooh, this stuff on its own is bad news. Maybe this is the ashiness. I can't tell now. I got so much crap in my mouth.
Did you get a curse put on you?
I hope not. Was Campari the thing you brought to that Maria's holiday party?
Yeah, I brought in a bottle. I waved it all around the room and nobody wanted any. And I drank probably half of it myself. Tried to get a buzz going. No takers.
Jeff, to go back on your curse thing.
Yes.
I don't think I was cursed, but last Halloween... a woman dressed as a witch on October 31st cursed at me.
Oh,
so
that's a powerful one.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to come up with something funny as I was saying that, but I didn't.
I think you did.
I thought you did.
yeah. I would have laughed harder, but I was Googling to see if there's such thing as bitter Campari, and I just saw normal Campari and then something called... Bitter Carpano, which sounds like a parody written by a sketch comedy writer.
Slide me some bitter Carpano.
Am I on the silly comedy website here? Yes, that is the silly comedy glossary.
Mad Magazine.
Mad.com. No, so Campari is just Campari. There's the one. It's an aperitif.
Mm.
It's made from like a bunch of different fruit and stuff. In Italy, herbs, cascaria, chinotto, all kinds of stuff bubbling down into a dank brew.
What's the proof on that thing?
Ooh, that's a good question. 40?
Okay.
So a respectable proof. Now,
this is 25. This Luxardo is 25%.
Oh, so that's a little harsher.
Very curious.
I'm liking that. I like this a lot. I order these and they're always bitter and I like them because it's a type of bitter I like. But I feel like in general, like when we had the Manhattan, all the sloppy boys were like, puh, puh, puh. And then when we had big creamsicles, we were like, hey, these are kind of good.
Yeah, we're over dessert type.
Give us some Brandy Alexanders and some golden dreams. But I think most people, like I was talking to my brother about the drinks he likes, and he says he likes a harsher drink that slows you down, that has something kind of a little bit of a rank taste.
A little edge
so that you sip and you think.
Right, 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 right.
Meanwhile, the sloppy boys are just throwing back hurricanes and barfing. You know what's a funny thing too about the Negroni? I kind of realized, I think it took me a while. I've mentioned before that I had only ever had them up, and then I saw Neil Campbell get one on the rocks and I copied him and then I liked it. So I like him more on the rocks. But I realized that I had a stumbling block with the word Negroni. You know when you have a nonsensical aversion to something, you have like a bad association. There was a lady in my grade school, Mrs. Negron, who yelled at me all the time. She was like a hall monitor. And she would make us before.
She was a power tripping bitch.
No, she's probably a nice lady, and I was probably a little bastard. I was friends with her kids and stuff like that. Maybe she's a wonderful woman, but she used to do this thing where, like, before you could go out for recess, she would make us line up in the hallway in the school instead of just like walking.
Fucking fascist.
But then it was like 2x2, and then we all had to be silent, and we all had to like she put her hand in the air, and we all had to put our hand in, and like before playing kickball, why do you have to be?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be quiet when you're the whole point of recess is to let kids go nuts?
It's because you animals need structure.
Anyway, I bet the first 200 times I saw Negroni on a menu, I was like, Mrs. Negron? I don't think so. I'm here to have fun.
The waiter comes over. You're like, I'm not putting my hand up. He's like, sir, I don't.
And then the waiter's like, Tim, quiet down. I'm going to eat my orange slice.
Oh, I can't because I have a clementine.
Ooh, to the dome. That's delicious.
You guys ever have that those candies, or it's like dried fruit type thing where it's like an orange slice and it's all sugary. They sell them at Trader Joe's and you can kind of eat the whole thing.
Yes. Love them.
Those are good.
Are they actual oranges or are they like the candy orange slices?
I think they're actual oranges.
Whew. That sounds great.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they're not like gummies or something.
It's not like the big ass sugary gummies. Those are good too.
No. Yeah, they're all good. Gummies, everything.
I'll tell you what. I don't like mixing fruit and chocolate. Like whenever I see like, ooh, I got a chocolate orange, I'm like, pass.
Interesting.
Hard pass.
No, I
agree. I think they're better separate. Why double down?
I say pass it to me. I'd like to try it.
Not into chocolate cherry. I'm not into chocolate. And those are the big two.
Hey, you know what I did recently? I put peanut butter on Clementine segments.
That's fucking gross.
Segments. Mouthwatering segments.
Mike, you just tell me you didn't do that and you're just being a shock jock.
All right. I'm just trying to get up votes.
Well, you ever make a PB&J with marmalade instead of jam? It's kind of like that, I guess.
Ooh, PB&J all the way. You don't like it? No, come on, Jeff. You don't like a little banana with peanut butter?
Of course I do.
Okay, banana and chocolate?
Those are natural bedfellows. So are those.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, great.
So
what's your issue, dude?
Fruit and chocolate.
You don't like chocolate on fruit, but you will eat it on a banana.
I tend to agree. I don't like, you know, like Black Forest cake is chocolate and like raspberry.
Cherry.
Like,
or yeah, raspberry.
Or I would just rather have the berries separate. Although I do enjoy indulging in a little Turkish delight. What?
You're a Greek delight.
You got to keep them separated.
Mm. Hey, since we're doing fruit talk, Mike.
Welcome back to Fruit Talk.
Mike, you said last week, hey, there's no apple juice cocktails and there should be apple juice cocktails.
Mm, yes, I did.
I thought that was very insightful, kind of out of character. Formed a complete thought.
Yeah. I see you say something like that around the, to the literary bigwigs that I hang out with. They don't like it.
You go to the cafes of Florence and say, hey, how about an apple juice?
They're talking about a poetry book. Hey, do you guys think there's an apple juice drink?
Well, you said that and we laughed you off as usual, but so a few days later, me and Jeff were getting tacos and You know, the selection of the classic Mexican sodas, there's like the Coke, there's like the Sangria one, there's like the Jarritos orange.
Yep.
And then there's an apple soda in a glass bottle that's called Mundet, M-U-N-D-E-T.
Apple and soda.
I was drinking that with my burrito, and I turned to Jeff and I said, apple soda? This would be a good thing for a cocktail.
Like, hey!
Imagine that the it's autumn time. The leaves are falling.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm watching the World Series, mm-hmm. and then I reach for maybe like an apple soda and bourbon.
Ooh, bourbon. You choose
could
bourbon.
Kind of nice.
But an apple juice and bourbon?
No, it's an apple soda.
Apple soda and bourbon.
I was kind of punching up your your idea. Hey, look at this. I Googled Mundet cocktail to see if anyone has used this apple soda, and there is a drink called the Señor Brown. And it's just shit in a cup. No, it is... it's apple soda with mezcal, you know, smoky mezcal. That's
hey,
cool.
Interesting. Weird choices, both of you.
Hmm.
I don't know what I'd put in an apple drink.
But what do you mean, both of you? I have not come up with a drink yet.
No. Both the mezcal and the bourbon.
Oh.
Well, and Mike hasn't offered any, so you're just kind of sitting there on the fence, waffling.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Non-committal.
Yeah, I got a real hard choice coming up, but I don't want to bring it up to you because I think you guys will freak.
I think gin could work. I'm starting to get into the gin, guys.
Anything could work. Vodka and apple juice could work.
I like gin in cocktails because gin, it's kind of the, it turns into a bit of a chameleon. Think of this drink we're having right now.
Yes.
Campari, vermouth, and gin. I don't taste the gin whatsoever.
I don't taste a hint of the juniper.
Oh, actually, I just bit down on a big clump of juniper.
Oh.
Oh, Tim, I'm so sorry, dude.
Well, I think, remember earlier I said this is, I had one of these once before. Did I tell you about that story when I had one?
It sounds familiar, but what are the details?
This was before COVID happened. I said probably the last like concert type thing I went. I went to a Lizzo concert.
Sure.
Cool.
And
love Lizzo.
Lizzo's great. Puts on a hell of a show. And then I'm afterwards in the, got a little backstage. Got to go backstage and hang with the gang. And hang with all her friends and the crew and the dancers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was great. We're hanging out. We're drinking. We're maybe doing a little something else. Maybe some
okay,
smoking.
We don't have to go in.
I don't want to say. So we're having some fun.
You're having a little bit of a hem.
That's right. That's right. And one of her dancers, Chris, was doing this funny thing. He was doing this funny Sylvester Stallone impression. It was like spot on, but he was being really funny with it.
Cool.
And I'm not even going to try to do it, but he was being really funny. And, oh, I should, a little backstory. Right before the concert, I went to this really like sketchy burrito place. And I got something off the menu called the Rattlesnake Burrito. And I was like, well, what kind of meat's in it? And they're like, we can't tell you, but it's really good. I was like, okay, you can't tell me what it is. And they're like, yeah. And then they also mentioned something about like, it comes with a lot of beans and something about the refrigerator breaking earlier that day.
Ooh, and you don't know what they said, but they mentioned something along those lines.
Along those lines. So anyway, cut back to hanging out with Lizzo and her friends, who I was hoping they would become my friends because we were all having such a great time.
Oh, Chris and the gang, yeah.
Chris, the dancer, he's doing the impression. We're all laughing. I laugh a little too hard and I let out a little bit of a squeaker.
Yeah. And just sound, just audio though. Just.
Huh?
Just sound came out.
I wish just sound.
Oh. We're talking brown air.
So, you know, it was, we've been in that situation where you kind of have to, oh, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Sure.
And Lizzo looked over me and she's like, Mike, what happened? What's going on? And I, you know, I sort of built up my courage and I said this.
You said this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Pull my pants down, check for turds.
Mike, what are you doing?
I think I shit myself. Pants down, checking for turds.
Oh God, it stinks.
I think I shit myself. Pants down, I feel like a turd.
You should go do this in the bathroom.
Gotta change myself. Pants down, unlike a nerd.
It's fine, just please.
I think I shit myself. Gotta change myself.
Stop. Yes, I know. Get out of here.
Gotta change myself.
Go change. Go to the bathroom and change.
I think I shit myself.
We know. Go change.
Gotta change myself.
Would you please just get out of here?
Here I go.
Ew. Oh, it's disgusting.
Rude.
Oh, wow, you said all that?
I can't believe you said that. What did she say?
Yeah, I said it. I said it. It was, I did it and I said it.
There was a thing that you said that I missed there. It was unlike a nerd.
I'm like a nerd or?
Yeah, a nerd wears his pants really high, but I was pulling my pants down so I could check.
Oh, right.
If I shit myself.
Right.
Oh, that makes so much sense because, yeah, unlike a nerd. So you had your pants down. Got it.
And those other voices that were like, go get out of here. That was probably like that guy, Chris.
Chris and yeah, and some of his friends. Lizzo didn't comment. She was just like, you know, a face in palm, like, fuck
yeah.
At this guy.
Yeah, she was probably thinking like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but also like, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. So that sucked, but that was the last time I had a Negroni.
Well, I mean, I hope that that doesn't sort of like taint the drink for you and you can still enjoy it.
I love this drink.
So it's a good
ash and all.
A good memory.
Folks, we'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back. Final thoughts on the Negroni.
Ooh, Jeff doesn't have any final thoughts on this one.
I've got a lot of thoughts.
Guys.
Guys, you guys are my guys.
Just tell me what you fucking think.
All right, so this tastes like ash to me.
What does ash taste like when you say that? What are you thinking when you say ash?
Bitter Campari.
Oh, there you go. Is it smoky? Is it wood-like, Mike?
No. It's like a very stinging taste that is not bitter. I know bitter. I should know better, actually, than to have this drink again. I will not probably order this myself again.
Yeah.
Hate to say it. There's just other drinks out there that I can go to that I like better.
Yeah, there's lots of other drinks out there.
I'm getting used to this. It's okay. But sorry, Negroni.
Yep. I'll say I will echo my friend's sentiments. It's fine. I got to say, though, Tim, not even appointment only. This is a no for me, dog.
Whoa. You wouldn't even make an appointment for it?
No, I would not.
Wow.
If somebody was saying, hey, it's Negroni night, I'd be like, I have other things to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you blame the vermouth or the Campari?
Well, I was never a huge fan of vermouth to begin with. And the Campari ain't helping.
When I was I'm having a second round, and when I mixed it up, I only had a little dribble of vermouth left. And it's weird. The Campari is even more bitter because it's not as diluted now. So I guess the vermouth was doing its job in the full cocktail. I do like it. I would have a second round. I guess I'm more of a Cafe Society kind of guy than you guys are.
Yeah, but maybe.
Yeah. I will say this.
Perhaps.
I don't think I like the IBA's recipe or maybe I have the wrong vermouth, because every other Negroni I've had in my life has been better. They're usually really dark and you can't really see through them and they taste fancier. This one is just like electric red and kind of sweet and bitter, but it doesn't have the depth that they always have. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, question for you, Tim, since I just bought a $30 bottle of Campari, what else can I do with this thing? How do I get rid of this stuff?
You bought a $30. I got a little nip. Cap and Cork had the little $2 nip.
Well, really? I'm fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked. We're going to have to look through, because honestly, this is the only...
the primary usage of a Campari.
I guess my best recommendation would be like to bring it to a holiday party and then drink it with... I was having just Campari and soda. So rocks, Campari, soda. Stupid drink. I don't know what else to tell you.
On the bottle, it says, like, enjoy it on the rocks. I can't imagine enjoying it on the rocks.
Let's look into Aperol, because maybe Aperol is like this with just more sugar. And if you put sugar, you could have yourself a nice spritz.
Ooh.
Is Campari something that can hang out for a while?
Yeah.
Like the vermouth, since we're in vermouth month, we should probably talk about vermouth stuff. Vermouth doesn't stick around very well.
Nope. you got to refrigerate it and you get 2, maybe 3 months out of it. Campari, forget about it. Let it gather dust.
We really should be doing Vermouth Month because
yeah,
we got the stuff.
Yeah, the first and the last.
We finished it off though because here was the problem. When we had Manhattans, I did not buy sweet red vermouth. Jeff did. And then he came over and he poured me a few ounces, which was very kind. And then he cleaned out his fridge and he dumped the rest of the bottle.
Yeah, I hated it.
Well, I just bought a whole bottle for this thing.
Well, you had a poison bottle that made you barf before.
Right, so I had to get rid of that. Now I got a new one, and now I got to sit on this, and it's going to make me barf for a month.
I'm not taking the hit for this. We need better communication.
Mike.
Yes.
You have a surplus of vermouth. Here's what you could do that would help the pod. Have yourself a sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist, which is the Andie MacDowell drink from Groundhog Day. Tell us if it's gross.
Okay.
And then we can make fun of her.
Okay. That'll be my thing to do. A twist is what? A twist of lime? Lemon?
Lemon. Lemon traditionally.
Lemon.
Or you could just drink straight, neat vermouth like Hemingway.
Oh, right. Well, I do hang out with his types of people who enjoy that. Him.
And tell them about apple juice and they all roll their eyes.
They say, Hanford, we don't know why we keep you around, but we do.
Well, that's it for the Negroni. Let's read some mail.
I can't believe we got through that whole episode without saying, and a bony Negroni.
I thought we would say, my Negroni. My Sharona. We didn't say any of the stuff we should have said.
Tom asks, hey, Sloppy Boys, really enjoyed the Bullshot episode and the talk about savory cocktails. Not sure if this is a real thing, but in the Larry Sanders Show, rest in peace, Torn always talked about drinking salty dogs, which I'm pretty sure was just vodka with salt on the rim. Would you ever consider reviewing that? Baba Booey, Tom.
Well, I think that's someone who works for the Howard Stern Show, and we just got Baba Booey.
I just Googled it. Yeah. It's gin or vodka with grapefruit juice and a salted rim on the glass.
Ooh, huh. I would do that.
Do you know how to do, how do you do a salted rim?
You turn the glass upside down when it's a little, you get it a little wet, like you dip it in a little plate of water or something, uh-huh. And then you put it on a plate of salt.
Yes.
Before the drink's in it, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Look at this. Even on the Wikipedia for the salty dog, it says it was a favorite drink of Artie, the producer played by Rip Torn on the sitcom The Larry Sanders Show.
Damn, wow. Tom, you really came through for us.
Well, now, wait a minute. We have passion fruit stuff.
Yeah.
What if we did a passion fruit salty dog?
Yeah, let's
well,
do
that's
that.
That's not salty. It's sweet.
Well, no, but we put the salt instead of the grapefruit juice because no one has
That could be a Hanford original.
All right. This would be something I'd be willing to do, you know, as a side piece of a episode.
Wait, so grapefruit and what was the other one?
Gin or vodka.
Oh, but it's grapefruit either way.
Grapefruit juice, either way.
Oh, yeah.
Salted rim, either way. Highball glass, either way.
Tom, we'll think about it.
That does sound interesting.
We'll think it over, Tom. I like it. I like the sound of that.
Me too.
And that's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys. And a special thanks to Jeff Buckelman, our 500th patron.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening, folks. See you next week.
Happy Vermouth Month.
Bye, everyone.